Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and this is my wife, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearsons.
All day, every day.
And we are so happy to be able to be with you on the Believer's Voice of Victory. What a privilege it is to do this, Terry, and to do this with you.
I was going to say the same thing. I love doing this together.
Who
would have thunk it a long time ago?
I know it.
We get to do this together.
I know it. The Lord could see down the hallways of time to see us sitting here together. So thrilled that we can be with you. Kenneth and Gloria, once again, thank you for allowing us to be here on this broadcast in your studio for the Believer's Voice of Victory. I do want to make mention of the outlines. All of these outlines that we're teaching on in this series of the end time warnings and instructions are available to you, kcm.org/notes. And really, this is a comprehensive study. We got a lot of scriptures in here, a lot of notes that we put together about how to face the times that we are in right now.
It's not just things that are coming. It's things that are already here.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what God's told us to do, is to pull these things together to equip you. It's what Ephesians 4 tells us we are to do. We are to equip the saints.
Equip the saints.
For the work of the ministry and to equip the saints for the times that we're living in so that you would not be tossed around to and fro by every wind of this, that, and doctrine and news report. But you know, I just want to mention this too, Pastor, is that we'd like to hear from you. I really, really like hearing from our viewers and the broadcast, what this meaning to you, how you're using it, if you're using the notes. We'd really, really, really like to hear from you. I get to read a lot of those that come in. It'd just be very, very nice for you to respond and tell us what you're getting out of these broadcasts.
And don't forget, we have Kenneth Copeland Bible College here, where you talk about drinking water out of a fire hose, no, the Word of God.
I think it's straight right out of the fire hydrant. No hose involved, just right out of the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we hear. But, oh my goodness, at the wonderful things that come out of that Bible school, the things you'll learn. You say, who's the Bible college for? Anybody.
That's right.
Anybody and everybody. It's for those that are just coming out of high school. It's for those that have been to college, graduated. We have professionals come. We've had doctors, lawyers, ministers, people who've already been in ministry come to get a redirect, to get a refresh, especially those that have just come upon the word of faith in recent years, but then those who are preparing to go on to further education and every kind of field available. They've come to be grounded in the word of God, in the word of faith, in the hearing the voice of the good shepherd. Why? So that when you get out in the world, you're not confused, you're certain, you're strong, and they won't be able to talk you out of it.
So on the broadcast this week, we're talking about how to equip you for the end times. I really like that phrase, to equip them. And to begin with, we're talking about the authority of the believer. I'm going to quote Pastor Terry. This is amazing. She said,
well, that's the Lord said.
That's what the Lord said. You said, I asked the Lord, what is it we need to know now in the face of these end times and this crazy world with its deception and its darkness rising up? He said, there is no power so great that the authority of the believer is not greater still. All the demons in hell combined together 10 times cannot overcome the authority of the believer.
That's pretty big.
That's really good.
That's really big when you think about all the powers, all the strategy, the deceitfulness, the deception, everything that the devil has. If he evacuated all of hell and gathered all the troops against no one but you, the authority of the believer is enough to overcome anything he can put in your path.
That's right. So what I'd like to do right now is a 5-minute review of the authority of the believer, the believer's authority. And this would take probably a semester or two at KCBC, but we're going to do it really quick right now. The plan of redemption in 5 minutes. So first of all, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Quote Charles Capps right there.
all the authority over all the creeps.
We have authority over creeps.
Creeps. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply. Which multiply, there in the Hebrew is the word increase. Multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God created man with authority. And that word dominion there means to rule and to reign, to prevail over and to govern. And I like reading it from the Amplified Translation. Let them have complete authority, total authority over all of these things. Well, we find in Genesis chapter 3, Adam abdicated his authority. He committed high treason. He gave his authority over to Satan. So then God immediately set the plan of redemption in motion in order to get his authority back to his family. He already had the plan. He wasn't caught off guard. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13 and 8.
I like that. You know, sometimes we, even though in our heads we know that God's not surprised, and yet we act like he is. We think, oh, what's God going to do about this? But don't try to figure all that out. He's God, and he can, and he does. So he had a plan, already had everything worked out, even before the problem occurred, so that we would never have to live unempowered in the face of anything, the devil, or even our own foolishness. You know, some things the devil gets pinned for was really just our own stupidity, stubbornness, ignorance, you know, disobedience. Those kind of things we set ourselves up, but even in spite of all that, God has a way out.
So, in the plan of redemption, Jesus took back man's authority. How did he do it? He went to the cross, to the grave, into hell itself, legally to redeem mankind and take back man's authority. Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things.
I think that's worth taking note of. That's a lot of words. What is he saying? Yeah. Okay, so he ascended. What he said, what does it mean he ascended? Well, that means if for him to go up, he had to first be down. He came from up,
right.
But he went all the way down, it says, to the lower parts of the earth. And that's where the scripture tells us that hell is. Jesus went into hell. Bible says he suffered the pangs of death, the suffering of death itself. Not just his body dying, that was over. By the time he went into hell, that body dying part, it was over.
Yep.
Jesus said, it's finished. He finished that part. But now was the part of suffering all the result of spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. And he did it all the way in hell, but glory to God.
Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection.
The resurrection of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He came up out of hell.
Thank you, Lord.
Before he came out of the grave.
Yes.
And he who descended is the same one who ascended far above the heavens, far above just the earthly atmosphere, far above any authority in heaven that had ever been given to a man before, all the way
up.
And what did he do with him above all the heavens? So that he might fill all things. Take it away to Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, Amplified. God seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age, but in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come.
You know, these verses that talk about rule, authority, power, and dominion, that's not just talking about spiritual demons, and of course it sure includes them, but it also means government. It means that no matter strategies, whatever things are set up to work against you, the name of Jesus is above that name. It's letting us know that there's no authority on earth. There's no authority below the earth.
That's right.
In fact, there's no authority even in heaven that Jesus' authority isn't above it.
That's right.
He is seated at the right hand of God at the very throne of God, at God's right hand, and that right hand means His authority. He is number one.
This time, the seat of authority is on a higher level, a much higher level than Adam's. And then He delegated His authority to us. It says in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So we see here that we've been delegated that authority.
Because He says, all power has been given to me, therefore you go.
Yeah.
So in other words, He could tell you to go, but if He didn't have authority to impart or delegate to you, to empower you with, you don't have enough authority or power on your own.
Yeah.
But His authority, He said, I've got it all. And not only do I have all the authority, I have the authority to send you.
Yes.
I have the authority to tell you where to go, what to do, and I have the authority to give that same authority in my name.
That's right.
In Mark 16, where He says, those that believe in my name, what are you going to do? Cast out devils, speak in other tongues, tread on any operation that the devil has against you.
It's not just Jesus that has this authority. And we see it here in Ephesians 2:6. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Him. We're seated at the right hand of the Father, and at the right hand of the Father is all authority, all dominion, all power. We are seated at the right hand with Him. Praise God for that.
You know, I got to you remember this, George. We had such a revelation of this. We went to Jerusalem some years back, and we were invited into the city council room in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a handful of us that were then invited to come and sit at the council table, the city council table. And I got an understanding of what it means to have a seat at the table. It's not just the family table. This is a table with vast authority. And we could sense that and feel that.
Right.
And then years later, we were brought and we were taken to the cabinet room for the prime minister. This is no longer Jerusalem City, but now Israel. And they said, go ahead, Pastor George, sit in the prime minister's seat. And you did. They actually took your picture there.
I'm showing
that
the picture
seat.
Right now.
Yep. So, but the sense of that
oh,
seat.
Man.
So, that's what does this seat mean? It's not just a chair.
Right.
It's position.
Yeah.
It's authoritative position. And we have been seated in Christ. We've been seated in His seat of authority. Not our own, but His seat.
We rule and reign from that seat of authority.
Supposed to.
Whatever has to do with our lives, whatever has to do with our body, our mind, our entire life, we take dominion and authority over all of those things that have come out of the curse, recognizing that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We have the right to exercise our authority. Sickness, get off of my body in the name of Jesus. What am I doing? I am exercising my authority over my own body. Sickness, you get off of my children. What are we doing? We're exercising our authority over our children where sickness is concerned. So we have been raised up. We have been seated with Him in the heavenly realm, and we rule and we reign from that position.
So, well, I told the devil to get out, and he didn't go. Well, Jesus said he would, and so somebody's lying, I pick you. So, but here's the other thing about that. I remember, George, you became chief executive officer, the ministry here, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you'd been in that position for a while.
Right.
But one day you said to me, it was like your eyes opened in a different world. All of a sudden you said, I perceived my position.
Yes.
There's a scripture that says David perceived he was king. So he had been king. He was doing king stuff. But there was a day that all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm the king. This, we have to grow in our perception, grow in the skillfulness of our faith where this authority is concerned.
Right.
And how to wisely use it. And it only really goes as far as your faith can deliver it. It's all rooted in faith.
We have to exercise authority. That's our responsibility.
It's ours, not his.
It's not his. It's our responsibility. And Terry, this is one of the things that I learned after I got saved, and then I came to Oral Roberts University. We met, you introduced me to your dad's teachings. I started learning about this. And I came to the realization that some of the things that I had learned and I had taught previously, it's God that puts sickness on you. He'll put you in the hospital so you can minister to somebody. That was all wrong. I discovered that I had authority, but there's something about possessing something, but not doing anything with it. You can possess the weapon, but not use it. You can possess something and just have it sitting over there. You can possess a Bible and it sits on a shelf. We have to exercise our authority. And it answers the question, why doesn't God do something about the devil? Because you're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do it.
With his name, with his power, with the authority you've been given in his name and to grow in it. Like you said, you learn to use your weapons skillfully. Bible talks about being skillful in the word of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be, this Apostle Paul, I should be exalted above measure by the advance and the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Notice God didn't send him.
That's right.
God didn't send it to him. Satan did. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Jesus, get this thing off of me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That people want to translate that to mean, so you're just going to have to suffer it out, Paul. No, Mm-mm. he was saying, I'll strengthen you. We read it yesterday, I think it was, in Isaiah. I will harden you to difficulty. And he goes on, Paul says, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's not sickness. I take pleasure. No. I take pleasure in the fact that I'm not strong enough to do it, but he is. A greater one is in me.
That's right.
Therefore, I take pleasure in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. So God didn't say you're not ever going to have any problem and that you can get the devil out of your life so you have no more trouble. No, because we're in this world and Jesus said you're going to have persecution and problems and trouble. But he said, but I've overcome the world.
Right.
So what's he telling us here? So we had this authority over the devil. Paul still had a lot of trouble, but nothing stopped him. Paul still had encounters with problems, but it didn't any of it stop him.
Right.
He said, yeah, bring it on, because he proved the power of the name of Jesus in every situation. A lot of things were prevented. Some things were changed and diminished and altered, but other things he had to completely overcome. But the fact was, he could and did overcome. And
that's
he finally
right.
concluded by saying, I've run the race, I've finished my course, and all that's left for me is a crown.
That's it. And Rick Renner says this about what you just talked about, the Rick Renner translation. My grace is more than enough for you. If you'll receive it, you'll find that it will sufficiently endow you with more than you need to deal with any situation. My power is always at hand. available to help you in moments when you are weak and you are needy. So we can exercise that authority at any moment, any time of day, any time of night. We can release that and see things change in our lives. Look at this, Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Wow. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to ask the Lord to do something about the devil. He's given us what it takes to get the job done. Read that next scripture,
Terry. Okay, Mark 16, we referred to this. He who believes is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In other words, you're stuck. But these signs follow those that believe in my name. They cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. That means that there's authority in both realms. There's authority in the realm of the Holy Spirit, and there's authority in the realm, the unseen realm of demon spirits. James 4:7, resist the devil. He'll run from you.
That's right.
And then, let's see, 2 Timothy 4,
oh, there you go.
There it is, 7 and 8. Mm. I fought the good fight, finished the race, I just quoted that, kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing. So glory to God, seeing this. You know, Jesus, he had complete authority. There were times that he just walked away from it unscathed. Mm-hmm. It didn't go away, but he overcame. Other times he had to confront it.
Right.
Other times people acquiesced and they saw the light and they changed. But the point still is that in his name, we have that authority to always come out the overcomer.
Praise God. That authority belongs to us. It is ours. And Terry, we have some important resources that we want to make available to you.
We want to give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely free. To help you living at the end of time, this is by Brother Copeland. And you can see the multitude of sticky notes in here of all the great things that are there. And then what do you have there?
Sister Copeland's book, Are You Ready? Are you? You may think you are. What I like about this little book is it's also a good checklist. You can read it and say, oh, I thought I was ready. Don't assume. Don't assume that you're ready for anything that comes. Stay ready because there's more coming. Not doomsday. This is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
We have been chosen and selected by God to be a part of these end times, these end days. Wow.
Yes.
That means in him, you've got what it takes to be an overcomer, no matter how icky and awful it can get out there.
That's right.
But don't just sit there and think, gee, that's nice. No, go to kcm.org and you can get this free product. Also, when you go there, you'll find there are a lot of other resources, which the whole end time readiness package. You can find this. You'll find other things that we have that will help prepare you for the days that we're in, as well as the ones that are coming. And then don't forget to get your notes. We didn't quite finish. We got a great story here that Brother Hagin told that'll really help you, but you'll have to get the notes to find it.
So,
all right?
Listen to your announcer and get this package. It's free. It's free.
It's free.
It's free.
Are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you sense that we are living in the final days before his glorious appearing? Now more than ever, it's crucial for believers to be ready and equipped for the coming move of God. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a vital message for you in this critical hour. In the End Time Readiness Package, you'll receive two powerful resources to help you navigate the narrow band of time before Christ's return. In Living at the End of Time, a time of supernatural increase, Kenneth Copeland reveals that we've entered a period of acceleration. You'll discover how to cooperate with God's end time agenda and experience signs, wonders, and miracles in your everyday life. In Gloria Copeland's mini book, Are You Ready? Learn how to stay watchful and in tune with the Spirit so you're fully prepared with God's word for what's ahead. Live victoriously and confidently, free from fear in these end times, and be ready for the greatest outpouring of God's glory ever seen. Get equipped with the End Time Readiness Package and receive books by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on paperback or as digital downloads. Request your free package today on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Find out how you can live healed, protected, and free from fear. Offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I discovered my calling here at KCBC.
Immerse yourself in a faith community here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Get equipped with what you need for your next steps in life and ministry. Discover new gifts and talents and learn biblical education from seasoned instructors. Kenneth Copeland Bible College is here to help you find clarity of purpose in your life and ministry. Find your purpose, discover your calling. For more information, go to kcbiblecollege.org.
You're probably thinking, wow, that's a lot of information. Well, we're trying to say a lot in a very short mm-hmm. amount of time, mm-hmm. but there's so much more to be said,
yes.
so much more to have our lives enriched, and you're hungry for it. I know that you are. I can feel it. What do we have for you? Well, we have this website, kcm.org, but you know what else we have? We have Kenneth Copeland Bible College.
That's right.
And I just can hardly encourage you enough to check that out for you, for someone else you know and love, to come to this school, set aside 2 years, 2 years. And it doesn't mean you have to wait till the end of that 2 years. I'll tell you, at the end of the first week, you will be looking for an outlet to share with what you have already learned. But imagine 2 years mm-hmm. of study, whether it's preparing you to go into further education or preparing you going into professional field. Maybe you're already in the professional world. Maybe you're just coming out of high school. But this is something that to come into the community here, to be a part, it's an amazing thing to watch this solid foundation to building your yep. faith, building their knowledge, working knowledge of the Word of God. And plus, it's just a lot of fun. Some of the best teachers on the planet
That's
to
right.
be here
That's right.
and to teach you, as well as great fellowship yep. with other believers. So go to kcm.org, or you can go straight to kcbiblecollege.org, either one, and find out more about KCBC and how you can apply and be a part with us. And then don't forget, while you're there, to order these books that we want to give you for free, and don't miss tomorrow. I know you hear that kind of phrase a lot, but seriously, we want you to be with us tomorrow as we continue to prepare you and to equip you for this end times that we live in. And so, this is Pastor George, Pastor Terry, reminding you, God loves you.
We love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.